My name's Graham Merrill. If you can read, you can tell my name. What's called the Online Development Manager at AOL7, which is based in Sydney. And I want to talk to you this morning, hopefully for 45 minutes, on why we've chosen to go the free software route at AOL7. Now, I had to actually, it was a bit of a chore to get the powers that be to agree to allow me to do this report. We're probably about the fifth largest ISP in Australia, which sounds pretty good, but when you compare it to Telstra, who has innumerable users, I think the last count something was 500,000 users or thereabouts. They own the lion's share of the internet service provider business in Australia. And then there's a whole sort of bunch of people who hang around under that, of which we're part of that, and that's about four others, including Optus, iPrimus, ourselves, and one or two more. And then there's a whole gaggle of others lurking around the bottom, which are your standard, which your bog standard ISPs. So if you looked at a graph of the ISP market in Australia, you'll see there's this little line at the bottom, and then that sort of scoots up a little bit, and that's us and a few others, and it rockets right up to the top, which is Telstra. Having said that, there's not many ISPs sitting in Australia who, as my boss says, will open the kimono to show people what's inside. Now, I'm not going to do that literally, but I am going to do that figuratively this morning. Now, the other disclaimer I have to give you guys is that I can only answer questions of a technical nature. I have to say this. I can only answer questions of a technical nature. I cannot answer questions of a business nature. So if there's any journalists in the audience who want to ask me some probing questions, I'm afraid they'll just have to keep to yourselves. But I'm quite happy to answer any questions about why we do things, what we use, and so on. So I just want to start off by giving you guys a list of the Australian top 10 sites. This is from Red Sheriff. They're a company that we also use. They're an independent page ranking or stats service. If you ever go to a website and you see Red Measure applet started at the bottom of your window, you'll see that's Red Measure, and we use them. And I got the top 10 list out of Red Sheriff, and I went off to Netcraft and I plugged them in and found out what they ran. Now, the top one, obviously, 90%, I don't think runs NetWare. I would expect that to be a Windows box. All the rest, you can see there's a reasonably good mix of people who run free software and a good mix of people who don't. For my paper abstract, I actually plugged in all the top banking sites into the same method. And what was really interesting is that none of them used free software. If I recall my paper abstract correctly, which is really interesting. There's probably lots of reasons for that, but I don't really pretend to know what they are, except that financial stuff, they're probably a bit worried about what they perceive as security issues. So that's where everybody in Australia fits. We're one of those guys who runs free software. Now, just to explain what AOL7 is, it's a joint venture between three companies: AAPT, which is a Telecom New Zealand subsidiary. They provide all the infrastructure and that sort of thing, telephony services for us. AOL, which provide a large hole in the ground that we throw money into, and Channel 7. Oh. And you've got an error. That's nice. I was just going through my talk, and I noticed that Apache suddenly started crashing on my machine. So last night, about 10:30, I quickly downloaded. That's all right. Yeah, this is Rasmus's tool. I'm a PHP weenie, so I was good enough for Rasmus, I guess, is good enough for me. So I was going to say, Apache started crashing last night, so about half past 11, I was quickly downloading and proper decent version of Apache, installing it and making sure it all worked. So there was a bit of stress there. So AOL, apart from this money pit that I talked about, they provide us with, and we also with them develop all the software. So the AOL users in not only internationally but in Australia. So that includes the AOL client. AOL in Australia is still at version 7. It's gone to AOL 9 in the US. And that's just about to happen internationally as well, but we're not part of that. I was going to bring some AOL CDs here to give you guys. But I thought, well, there's probably enough litter and people throwing things at each other that they don't need to be added to. And so we also do the AOL client, webmail, AIM, any of the AOL products. We get a choice as to whether we want to take them or not. And if we do, we localize them. And there's a very large localization effort at AOL. Because they're in Canada, Latin America, Mexico, Japan, Germany, UK, us, of course, and a few others around the place. And of course, Channel 7. Now, is anybody here not from Australia who's flown in from overseas? Oh, great, only a few. Excellent. I'm going to show you some stuff later on, I think on the next slide. And it might not make sense to you guys, but a lot of you will understand the pictures and things. And Channel 7 obviously provide quite a large content component to what Channel 7 do. AOL 7 started off as i7, which was the internet arm of Channel 7. That, like with any other .com, burnt through the money reasonably quickly. And we merged with AOL Australia, which was previously the AOL Bertelsmann. And we formed AOL 7. So we're kind of a new company, particularly in Australia, because we're part content house or content company, and that we produce a lot of content that is our own. We're not like a portal like, say, Telstra, which had their own Telstra Big Pond portals. We actually produce and develop our own content, and we get all that from Seven, and they give it to us, and we put it online. And we're also part ISP. So it's kind of a tricky double-edged sword, and then we've got our foot in two camps. And it does make some interesting things that happen. So what are some of the stuff we do? Here's a list of some of a wee bite of the sites that that we do. I should mention also, by the way, that we also are a VISP for AAPT Smart Internet. So if any of you guys have seen ads for Smart Chat or Smart Internet on the television, and we've just launched AAPT Smart Chat Broadband, if I can remember the brand properly, that's what we do as well. So we actually are double ISP, AOL ISP, AOL 7 Broadband, which is our broadband product, and AAPT's ISP product, so we're quite busy. Some of the sites that we produce and host for the locals, the Great Outdoors, Auction Squad, and so on. Some of these sites have been going quite some time. Today, Tonight, always a ripper if you watch Today, Tonight. It's quality journalism, that. Great Outdoors is another site that's been going quite some time. It's very popular. Home and Away, of course, is AOL 7 Broadband. Just where my mouse is. That's our broadband DSL product. And a few others, 7 Sport. We also host Ian Thorpe's official website. Nice. Having said that, I've not laid eyes on Ian Thorpe. In fact, you think working in television that it's very glamorous. It's not. The only interesting people I've met were Nikki Webster and Sarah Marie of Big Brother. So I've kind of lucked out. However, the content guys get all the fun. We had one guy went to the Matrix Revolutions premiere, got to interview Keanu Reeves, and he got to go to the Lord of the Rings premiere in Wellington, and he was standing closer than this guy in the front row here, between himself and Liv Tyler and all the other stars of the Lord of the Rings, Dirty Dog. Other guys get to hang out with Robbie Williams and Lou Reed and stuff, so unfortunately the developers get the thin end of the wedge. So those are some of the sites that we do. Some are more popular than others. I just hopefully want to show you our AOL7 product. That's just to give you guys an example. We have a broadband product. This is it. It's only for subscribers, so if you try to go to our AOL7.com.au website, you'll actually get the acquisition site that says join, and you can see this stuff. And it's for all the broadband people. It's exclusive content. So we get... we get a lot of content from AOL, which we're very, very fortunate to get. So, for instance, Kylie Minogue, we had that from AOL a week before it was on television. Robbie Williams, Blink-182, Hilary Duff. A whole bunch of movie trailers that we get, and so on and so forth. So we've got quite a lot of content. That's all exclusive. It's all broadband related. Everybody loves it. That's reasonably successful. Now, our most popular sites on our network are Home and Away and Today Tonight. We average about 6 to 7 million impressions per month. That equates, we did some rough maths, and it's about 88 million hits on our web servers in a month. Home and Away and Today Tonight, as I said, are our most popular services. Anything that has diet or money making in it, Today Tonight is very, very popular. Now, for the overseas guys who don't know, Today Tonight is like a tabloid show that comes on after the news, and it's about shonky builders and people who try and rip you off, and kids with ADD, and neighbours fighting each other, and singing dogs, and... are there any New Zealanders here, by the way? Any New Zealanders? It's just like the Holmes show if you're a New Zealander, which is equally as bad. I guess it's like Fox News, but in half an hour for the Americans. now, we've got another site which we don't host, which is AOL.com.au. That's US-based. If you do that, if you add that in, you can add another 3 million impressions a month. So we serve quite a bit of stuff out of our websites. In the past, we've done the Winter Olympics, the Olympic Games, Melbourne Cup, the Commonwealth Games. At one point, we were the most popular sports-based website in Australia, so we do reasonably well. And Today Tonight, we've actually managed to serve 500,000 page impressions in a 4-hour period. That was by far our most popular period, and that was, strangely enough, for a diet. Does anybody here watch Today Tonight? Please, somebody? You know the soup diet? Who was that? You know the soup diet? No, the Kickstart soup diet? It's like you eat soup for a week, and it's true, it is so true. You eat soup for a week, and it's supposed to make the pounds just fall off you. So it's incredibly, incredibly popular. We had an online chat with a guy, Dr. John Darcy, who's pushing it in Australia here. And I just went crazy. All these people in the chat room just going completely and utterly bonkers. So let's talk about this, the history. I'm going to get onto the free software part in a second. I just want to run you through through what's happening. So I started off in June 2000 as a code monkey, and now I managed to look after some guys. And it was really interesting listening to Mad Dog this morning, because I actually went from the programmer to the manager. So I've gone from, living from in Uranus. And it's not pretty. So I started off in July 2007 at i7, and we're a vignette bunch of guys. Spent a lot of money on vignette and Oracle. And we paid a lot of money to guys to develop our vignette sites, and on the whole, it was pretty scary. It was incredibly fragile. We found, and we couldn't do a lot, and it cost a lot to train, and you spend a lot of time trying to figure out what was going on before you could actually get any work done. At the same time, Channel 7 invested quite heavily with NBC, And if you're around on the net in 98, 99, you would have heard of Zoom.com. And they had a huge community site. It was actually great hacker haven, because everybody would register sites and pull their wares and stuff up there, and everybody would be happy. But part of the Seven deal was that we got all the Zoom technology. So I said, yeah, we'll just send you some boxes, you set it up, it'll go. So they shipped all the boxes out to us, we set them up, and it didn't go. And that's when I came on board, and we had to try and make it go. And we spent months trying to make this damn thing go, and the best we could do was get the e-card site working. Let alone all the rest. It was just incredible. So all those boxes, we said, oh, screw that. Me and the other guy I was working with happened to be using PHP. So we thought, what are we going to do? So we actually, believe it or not, the entire i7 network launch, we just like spent a week writing some PHP stuff, trying it up on the website and hoping to God it was going to work. And it did. So Zoom was out the door. We built a whole bunch of community sites, and we built a user registration system and all this sort of thing using PHP, and we plugged it all into Oracle. And that worked really well. And all our sites, all the sites you saw just previously, like Home and Away and all that sort of thing, were all stored really nicely in an Oracle database. And then along came Australia. And one of the things with Oracle is that the license is not transferable. So what happened is that we would have had to pay, Australia would have had to pay a small fortune essentially to re-license Oracle for us. And we were using a lot of, we were using for small jobs, we were using MySQL at the time for some minor work that we were doing. And we thought, well, we can't throw all this money at Oracle and expect it to and keep maintaining it. And then there's the cost of the DBAs and so on and so forth. So we said, well, let's really go, really pursue the open source and really look at what we can do to make our life a little bit easier and try and bring some of the costs down, because when you're competing with somebody of the likes of Telstra and Optus who have just got huge bags of money to throw at things, it's very difficult to compete with them because you just cannot spend the amount of money that they do. So we have to try and do things a little bit cheaper. So what we did is we said, right, let's really get stuck into the open source thing and try and find a way to do more with less. And so we did. So now, as of today, just about everything we do, particularly on the web-facing side, uses free and open source software. Now, having said that, we serve, as I said, we serve, 8-odd million page impressions a month. That's our server architecture right there for 8 million page impressions. It's not much. And in fact, we actually use an Adelaide company, Hostworks, for all our hosting stuff. And if any of the Internode guys are here, hi to you, because we also use Internode for our broadband stuff as well. So that's our entire server architecture for 8 million page impressions a month. It's not too hard, it's not too big, is it? Got a couple of web servers, they're running Red Hat. Got a couple of caches with Squid on, frontline Squid caches. They save our bacon, they really do, especially when there's a soup diet story on. We have a load balancer on the right-hand side there, and that just divvies up the load for us. It's a little bit more complex than that. There's a few more wires and stuff in there. We've got a couple of database servers, a couple of media servers, which I'll talk about shortly. And we've got a box that plugs into our VPN in Sydney, which is our publishing box. And that just keeps it all nicely isolated. So it's actually very simple, and we do an incredible amount of traffic off those boxes. We really are running on the smell of an oily rag. And if you look at the Netcraft thing, we have a very good uptime graph as well. So we're very, very satisfied with it. So the software that is running on the boxes, just Red Hat Linux, and I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Squid, Apache. We're running Postgres, and we love it. There's a very good reason for that. Run PHP, by the way. The reason we run Postgres is that we had to port from Oracle. And we found that Postgres has almost a one-to-one match with Oracle. So we were very fortunate. I wrote a little script to dump all the data out of Oracle into a Postgres-compatible SQL, slurped it all back in Postgres, went to the website, and basically it just worked. So I was very fortunate that it was able to do that. And coming from the Oracle world, we were used to all the things that Oracle gave us, like subqueries and views and stored procedures and transactions and all the stuff that they do. The only thing that we couldn't do with, if people know Oracle, is connect by prior, which allows you to have a create a tree in SQL. And it's very, very good. And we had a website, actually today, tonight, seem to be fixated on it, that that is all completely in XML based, and what it did is that you store all the nodes. This is before XML databases came along, by the way. What we did is we pulled apart all the XML, stored every single node of the XML as a record in the database, and then offline we all stuck it back together again and published out of XML, and then we used transformations to publish Today Tonight website. Doesn't happen on the fly, it all happens offline, and the content people really like it. So once we were able to solve the connect by prior problem, we went a long way. Oracle just, we just were able to take it, just plug in Postgres, take it Oracle, and we were away. So it was very good. The one fly in the ointment, if you want to call it a fly, is Helix. That's what we use for our streaming media. Because we get a lot of, we produce content in-house in Windows Media format, but we also get content from overseas in Reel format, and that's what we get from the US. They've signed a huge deal with Reel, and so as a result, all the content we get is from in Reel format. That brought a challenge up for us because we could either, because we have to publish all the content in one spot, we have two different formats. So we either had to have a bunch of Windows servers and a bunch of media servers and a bunch of maybe QuickTime servers, because AOL's moving to QuickTime now as well. That was a real problem for us. So we couldn't find anything applicable in Helix, in open source free software world, that would do everything all the time, and feel free to correct me when I'm finished. So the decision was made by our infrastructure guys to go with Helix. And that works reasonably well. We don't have much to do with it. We just throw some files on the server and olay they get served. Now, well, Mike, as I said, I run the development team. For all these websites and all the other stuff that we do with AOL, there are four guys and me. So we do all of that with five of us. I'm one of these Uranus guys, so I actually also manage. So I spend about two-thirds of my time writing reports for the boss and that sort of thing, and about a third of my time trying to do some coding as best I can in between. It's really interesting, Mad Dog's talk again this morning, because when he said, oh, managers love timelines and they love reports and, you know, they love roadmaps and they love goals and that sort of thing, I thought, man, he must have been at our place, because damn. Because that's all eyes are, writing a report from a boss, writing a timeline from a boss. A lot bigger. He's actually a really good guy, and I'll come to that in a minute. So our guys in the development side, we use Red Hat plus GNU/Linux, very important. For our website development and so on, we use PHP with the PHP libraries. Photoshop is out, GIMP is in. Perl, CVS, FileZilla, and we, all the guys use it. Like, if our content guys need to publish up stuff to the web servers, they use FileZilla, they use, you know, a bit of free software. Other guys all over the place use all this free software. And it's really good. I'll get to the reasons for that shortly. We just find it's really useful. We find it's really able to easily be used. Really handy, and we all use it, and it has it's been a huge boon for us. We also there's a lot of utility software that we use that's on your standard servers, so we use SSH and rsync and all that sort of thing. All our sort of enterprise systems, if you want to call them that, also using the free software. So there's our webmail, our registration systems, all that sort of thing. Particularly for our AOL7 product, our entire billing system is written with free software. So that's pretty good. Now the reason we use, by the way, I'm flicking my bits of paper here because when I printed my notes out before I came down, I got down here and realised I hadn't printed out the speaker's notes with them as well. So I had to furiously write on the binary with them to try and remember what I was going to say. Now the reason we use Pear and that sort of thing is that originally when we started doing this, we went down the road of using all our own libraries and that sort of thing. And it really got us a little bit stuck because we have a lot of, migrant workers, and that we have a lot of people who come in on contract and then they'll go away again, and we get some more guys in on contract and they go away again. And it's very difficult, especially when you've got a small team and I'm trying to divide my time all over the place to try and get some consistency. So I said, right, well, let somebody else impose a consistency for us. So we chose, I said, okay, we're going to use the Pear libraries that are with PHP. We'll only use the reasonably rock-solid ones, like the DB libraries and that sort of thing. And let's try and impose a little bit of order along what we're doing. So it's helped a lot because all these ad hoc tools are being written, and it's kind of getting a little bit messy. We still reuse our own libraries. We augment, I guess, for want of a better word, all the Pear libraries with our own stuff, and that really allows us to move on. Build around it, we extend those Pear libraries, and it's made our life quite simple. Perl we mostly use for feed processing. And every day, all our developers primarily use a program called JEdit as their editor of choice. Now, anybody here use JEdit? Yeah, are you Java guys? No? Okay. For those who don't know, and it's a pretty small bunch of hands there, JEdit's a Java-based editor. We find it really good. It does everything. It's got all the syntax highlighting and blah, 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 blah that you'd want out of the editor. It's got folding and bracket matching and all sorts of things. But it has a huge plugin repository that we find really useful. So, for instance, CVS that we use something called Grunt Spud, which is a JEdit plugin, which allows you to put JEdit and CVS together. So we just do all our CVS checkouts from inside JEdit. There's XML plugins, there's XSL plugins, there's stuff for project management and tasks. There's FTP and IRC plugins, so you can actually IRC right inside your IDE. So it's kind of like Emacs, but not. And that. I mean, you can do all these things without leaving your editor, but it's a nice GUI, and of course it's all cross-platform and stuff. So I'll use JEdit on Windows box at work, and then I'll come home, and if I'm doing some development at work, I'll just run up JEdit on my Linux desktop at home, and it's exactly the same. So it's quite convenient. So why are we using free software? Part of it is history. And that we had all the stuff from Zoom, and in really, really quick time, we had to try and get all this information, all the stuff back up onto, let me see this one here, we had to get all the stuff up onto line very, very quickly. And we found that we're using, we knew PHP, we didn't have to spend a lot of money with it. We were able to get bang straight into it, get our stuff online. And the registration system ran basically without a hitch for the lifespan of i7, which was 18 months or so. And we find that it was a good stopgap for us, and it was a very excellent stopgap. Part cost, again, as I said, we need to compete with the Telstras and Optuses of this world who have huge amounts of spend. So by reducing the cost, we can actually use that money elsewhere, particularly in advertising. For those of you who watch a lot of television, you would have seen a million AOL 7 broadband ads on Channel 7 about 6 months ago. And part responsiveness allows us to actually respond, because we can get the tools, we can get up to speed with the tools, or we can write with the tools very quickly. Allows us to be very responsive to what to the changing things. A really good example of this was when there were the Bali bombings. September 11 in the US, AOL had this light a candle website, it was part of a big benefit. You could go to AOL, you could light a candle for the September 11 victims, and they just got smashed to bits, and it was very, very successful. Channel 7 had a Bali memorial, and we said to AOL, look, we want you guys to put a different name on your September 11 light a candle thing so we can use it for our Bali, because it's like our September 11. And they said, sure, give us a week. And we said, nah. So I got a couple of mates in and said, come and give us a hand, we need to get this Bali thing up online. It's the memorial concert is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Site's gonna get smashed. So we got on there in like 8 hours or something. We had the site done, we had the database done, we had the main name done, we had servers done, we had everything up, it was going, went off without a hitch, everybody lit heaps of candles. It was a really, really successful time. And that's what I mean by responsiveness. We had it done, had the site up and going in less than 24 hours. Now, I don't think I can get sound on this. I wanted to show you something, but I don't think we need sound. And it really, really summarizes what AOL 7 is. But you can get the hang of it without the sound, because it has subtitles and stuff. And you've probably seen it before, but for those who haven't, oh, that's not a bad idea. Thanks, Ron. There's a reason you've got an orange t-shirt on.
Yeah, no, I think it's just been dropped there.
Come on.
This is a Linux box.
When you're running with these animals, the one thing you can never do is show fear.
You get confused because of the size, I think. Very small, I can manage them. No, that's not true, you can't.
Squirrel, as thin as a squirrel. As long as I have legs.
That was a Super Bowl ad from a few years ago. There was another one which you may have seen about herding cats, which is just as good. It's got all these cowboys riding across the range herding cats. It's very, very funny. And they're all sitting around a campfire with things getting all the cat fur off their clothes and things. It's just superb. So we're a running squirrel. That's what I wanted to say. We're a running squirrel, and that we have to be really responsive. We have to be really nimble to shoot in between those gaps at the other big guys. Don't leave open, but allow us to sort of get into. As soon as somebody comes up with an idea, boom, Telstra's in there. So we have to try and get in and fill those gaps that Telstra maybe does left behind or hasn't seen yet, or at least try and get in there and get some of the customers that drop off Telstra. Telstra, is huge, it's a lot of customers, blah, 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 blah. Aussie Mail, again, Big ISP, so on and so forth. We've got four floors in Chatswood in Sydney, and two of those are call centre. So, you know, there's basically a floor of people actually doing the work, because the top floor is management, so they don't count, but there's a floor of people doing the work. And that's it. So, you know, I've got five guys in my development team. Our corporate delivery guys are like, there's six of them. And we try and do everything that we can, all those sites, all the AOL products, for those five guys. So, and I think we do it pretty well. And I think free software has been the main reason that we're able to get in there with that such a small amount of resources. So, benefits of our free software, licensing costs is a big one for us. Now, as I said, Oracle wanted about $500,000. Gives us more power, allows us to be more responsive, as I've already mentioned. More flexibility, simple architecture, obviously, and our contributions back to the community. And that's a really one I'll come back to in a moment as well. So more power, I mean, that we're closer to the system, especially when we're doing things like PHP or Perl or what have you. Because we're able to do a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't be able to do if we were sort of abstracted above it using other tools, that we can get right down into the system and we can do things with the system that we wouldn't be normally able to do. For instance, with the Today Tonight site, there was a lot of complex XML. PHP's XML stuff wasn't able to be up to it, so we used the libXML stuff instead. We just shelled out and ran XSLT plot. That made our life a whole bunch simpler. You know, we can talk to the system. We can get in there and we can talk to Apache, especially if using some of the freakier stuff in PHP or with Apache. We can do a lot more with a lot less that we don't think we're going to get if we're sort of abstracted above it with a different tool. Flexibility, yeah, we can knock up custom tools and custom websites very, very quickly, and we can do a lot with them. Architecture, of course, I showed you that picture before, so run on the smell of an oily rag. Now for the corporate guys, they like it because it's reliable and it's secure. Of course, your system's only secure as you allow it to be, or you don't allow it, or if you ignore it, it's insecure. So they like it because our Windows guys are constantly having to apply patches, you know, HostWorks gave us a ring the other day and said, oh yeah, it's about time our patches come out, we're going to have to reboot the database server. It's the first time it's been rebooted in, I think, since we started. So that's the, that's good. And we've never had any problem with people owning us or anybody owning our web pages and that sort of thing. It's easy to scale, reduce total cost of ownership, and it's sensible. So we can do a lot with it. We're very flexible. Disadvantages, though, and I have to say there are disadvantages. We find a little bit harder to resource. Whenever I'm looking for PHP developers in Sydney, I always find I have a bit of a struggle finding good ones. Searching for ASP guys is really, really easy if I wanted to find them, because they're just falling out of the woodwork. So, whereas PHP and guys who can do Perl and PHP and all that sort of thing, I find it a little bit harder to get good guys. Now, if you're one of those and you live in Sydney and I don't know about you, then you should let me know. But we're not looking at the moment, but you never know, you're like. we have a much more diverse range of products that we're able to resource from, and we find them very, very stable. When our i7 boxes, we had i7, with the boxes out there, we'd never rebooted. The Linux guys, but yet we had to go out there every little while and reboot our Windows Media Server. And that was all it did, media serving, and it was actually very, very stable. But sometimes it would just fall over. Whereas Linux boxes, some of them are up for 450 odd days and stuff like that. Some of the disadvantages are acceptance, particularly in our management guys. Some people, particularly who are pro-Microsoft, it's very difficult to actually convince them that it's an okay thing to be using. And there's ideological things as well. People say, oh, it's free, it can't be any good. You know all the reasons. I mean, you've heard more than a million times. You know, it's free, it can't be any good. It's a bunch of long-haired weirdos have written it. You know, all that sort of thing. What's this 0.5 version? You know, why isn't it version mail server 2010? And, you know, I don't get it. But, and you know, they do see the advantages of it. You know, again, we had to do a mail out for a whole bunch of AOL customers. You know, we didn't have any tools at the time which allowed us to effectively mail customers. Because AOL, everything's sort of centralised. If you want to send AOL mail to all our AOL members, we actually have to send it through Dublin, which is where the big AOL mail data centre. And we cannot use HTML mail. It has to be text. And we said, oh, screw that. So we, and they were trying to get this promotion out. So, you know, a couple of hours later, I had mailman run up, threw a bunch of names into it, sent out an email. It was beautiful text, and it was all compatible with early versions of AOL 5 and so on, and it worked. And that was just, you know, in an afternoon. So, and so when they see that, a demonstration of that, it actually sends home to them more effectively than I can wander around with, you know, Linux t-shirts on and stuff. It's more effective than that because they see it in action, and that's the most important thing, I think. Issues, excellent community support. It's one of the things we really like about it. GruntSpot is an example, which is a CVS server. Sent us out a GruntSpot sent us out a new version of GruntSpot. There's a huge bug. We reported it. Next day, it was fixed. So we like it for that sort of thing. Again, these arguments about maturity that I talked about, what's 0.5 and all that sort of thing. And then not all the products fit our end-to-end requirements. Helix is a good example of that. We couldn't find a product that was able to match what Helix did in terms of functionality. The other problems that we have with free software is certification. We are stuck with Red Hat 8 because, with Helix we're stuck with Windows. Because Helix would not support the kernel versions that we were trying to run, and then they wouldn't support the versions of Linux, and so on and so forth, so we were forced to run Helix on Windows boxes. The same with the Linux servers. We were forced to run Red Hat 8 on the Linux servers because of their hosting company. We couldn't run Red Hat 9 because it wasn't certified to run on their hardware. So there's a lot of sort of grey around certification and a lot of that sort of thing. And this is with Compaq HP hardware, so you'd think it would be, you know, they would have had that sort of tucked away nicely and all sorted out, but they didn't. And so we're forced to run Red Hat 8 boxes. And now we've got a problem because the product's at end of life. And one of the arguments I heard from one of our Windows guys the other day when we were looking at Enterprise Linux and Advanced Server was, I can buy 2003 for cheaper than that. And it was like, yeah. and how I had to come up with an argument against that to say, well, yeah, you can buy Windows 2003 cheaper than that, but you should think about these. And I got an email overnight which says, fortunately, because AOL has a very good licensing deal with Red Hat, that we're able to use AOL's Red Hat license in Australia. So I'm very lucky that I can use Advanced Server now. Ideology, Microsoft guys, that's the biggest stumbling block for us, the Microsoft guys. So we have Microsoft on the desktop and I'm okay with that because our users are journalists and writers and literature people. And they, you know, they want to write their content, they don't have to be trying to wrestle with Linux desktops and stuff, so I'm fine with them using Microsoft at the moment. But it's that they're always trying to find Microsoft solutions to a problem, and that can be quite interesting, especially when that can be quite forceful. Fortunately, my boss, our chief technology officer, is very amenable, and he really likes free software, and so generally the Microsoft guys get beaten down a bit, and so I generally get my own way. But again, you know, there's tools out there that don't really fit the thing. You know, we're still running Exchange and that sort of thing. And so I'm keeping an eye on groupware and that sort of thing quite closely. Oh, is that my beep? Oh, okay. other stuff, you know, there's bleeding edge things like Postgres. We're really hanging out for replication, but it's not quite there yet. So there are a few disadvantages for us. One of the things we actually managed to get around with this Microsoft guide, this is a little tip for anybody who's wrestling with Microsoft, is that one of the things they wanted for this item was that they said for a request tracking thing that our corporate system guide's running, they said we want to authenticate off Active Directory. And we want it to happen seamlessly. We don't want you guys having to enter passwords all the time and all that sort of thing. And they're quite insistent about it. So I went off and I found mod NTLM, which is an Apache module that does NTLM authentication. And suddenly the problem went away again. So if you're having that wrestle with Active Directory and the patching things, have a look out for that. And we use Samba, and that Samba authenticates off the Active Directory for our users as well. So it's very convenient. Now I just want to briefly, in the few minutes that I've got left, touch on some of the AOL software. I think I've got a few minutes. Nullsoft is an AOL company. They make Winamp. They're kind of naughty boys. They come up with, there was that peer-to-peer software that was out for about a day before AOL yanked it. However, they've done some really good stuff for AOL. All the AOL products now use the Winamp video streaming and media streaming stuff that they've written, and it's excellent. There's a thing called AOL Radio, which plugs into an AOL product called Ultravox. So if you Google for it, there's information about it. It allows for seamless stream switching and zero buffering times and all sorts of things, and that's a Nullsoft product. They've released the Netscape scriptable installer system, which AOL uses extensively. Now, I might get in trouble for mentioning Netscape and Mozilla and AOL in the same sentence. JWZ uses the term brand necrophilia for referring to Netscape. Because you might be reading now that Netscape is now an ISP. $9.95 a month, they're an ISP, they're no longer a browser. AOL, of course, originally developed quite heavily in Netscape, and they made, there was a golden parachute given to Mozilla to help them ease the pain of being divested. And it was a real shame. I had the privilege of going over to Mountain View and meeting the Netscape guys and having a good time, and I had some really shit stuff happening. And it was just a bit of a shame I got cast out. So the brand lives on. Netscape, yeah, not so much. But we actually distribute Netscape with our AOL 7 broadband product. And it's actually the default install, and people do install it, so that's good. AOL Server, some of you all know about. Tickle Base, still out there, still being used, still being developed. It AOL use it heaps. AOL.com is, and AIM.com and all that sort of thing still use AOL Server. Phil Greenspan used it for his digital community system, which is still very good, powerful. AOL Communicator, this is great. Look at what it uses: WX Windows, GetText, Mozilla LDAP, Mod Perl. A great program. AOL gave all the programmers heaps of praise because they developed this amazing product incredibly quickly. And I was all using some of these open source tools. WX Windows, so Communicator now runs on macOS and Linux and so on, and it's a nice program. And I think at the end of my talk, with about 30 seconds to spare, oh look at that, it's 30 seconds to spare. So I'll take a few questions, and if you've got any, come up and more than happy to talk to you afterwards. I try and give back. Normally, I'll send emails to the peer developers. I do have a CVS account. But one of the big issues that we have is that our legal guys don't really get the GPL and that sort of thing. So when I asked about free software contributions, they said, fine, as long as it doesn't have your AOL address email in it. So, yeah. So we do where we can, but we bump up against the big issue, which we haven't managed, I haven't managed to resolve with our legal guys yet, which is where does our intellectual property stop and the community begin? And that's still a problem for us. So we give back where we can, and I'd like to see a lot more of it, but we haven't managed to get over that hurdle yet. Yep, Vic? Yeah. I have to use Windows desktop, so I do use Office, unfortunately. We've just lost our infrastructure manager, who's the guy who does that, so I think I might see if I can sneak on OpenOffice and start using that instead, and see if anybody notices. But I have a tool that reports on all the installed software in our workstations, so I don't think I'll get to use it for terribly long. Yep. Yep. I don't see it happening. Maybe. I mean, I could see, particularly with the cost of hardware, having to replace hardware, particularly for new versions of Windows, and that Longhorn's still a long way away. I'd love to see it happen. There's this much chance that it might. But our content guys aren't big power users. They know how to paste and write in Word and that sort of thing. And because they're journalists, they don't expect to know how to use a desktop. So I'd like to see it happen, and maybe it'll happen, but I'm not holding out that much hope. Mm. One up there. Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. I think it's going to be, I think you are right in that, but I think there also may be some inertia, particularly to allow people to get all that up to speed. Unfortunately, we don't have a big, sorry? Yeah. Well, that. Yeah, and it may be the same with Telstra. I think Telstra are busy rolling out Linux, so there might be an impetus for us to do that as well. Again, it goes back to the whole Microsoft thing. If we can get some infrastructure staff that are pro Linux, at the moment they're doing Linux training and all that sort of thing, but they're very resistant because they know Windows. They love Windows. They've got MCSC on their business card and it makes it difficult. We have a big problem with 7 at the moment, in that we're trying to convince them to do some content, and they're TV guys. They don't want to do content, so can't, won't. And that's a real issue for us. Yep. Yeah. That is our interface for publishing. This is our content management system. It's just a few screenshots, so you don't get too carried away. But it's this one we call Raptor, which is named after some bicycle tires, believe it or not. It's a long story. But these guys. Sorry? Yes. Two guys. Let me talk to the legal guys. I would like to. I would really like to. There's what? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all done with Smarty, Postgres, PHP, all that sort of thing. So there's the Sunwise website. It's all done with content slots, and you can put content in and schedule it, and it's all very exciting. I would love that. I would seriously love that. That thing uses something called eWebEdit Pro, which is a commercial product that strips, which is a one of the few commercial things that we've bought, which is an inline web editor, which allows them to do lots of editing. It strips word tags for us and all sorts of things. They just paste it in there, and it's really quite convenient because they can upload images through it. And we just didn't have time to actually build our own tool, so we said, oh, screw it, we don't have time, we'll just have to go out and buy one. Yeah, last one, I think. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 Yeah, it's just, it was a cost issue for us. Yeah. Okay, any more questions, just feel free to come up and see me. I'm wandering around. And thanks very much.